Father, we thank you for this evening. We ask you to receive revelation of your word in our hearts. We're instructed thereby. We ask you tonight, your word is to us, as it ought to be, information. Receive what your word is to us, as it ought to be, instructions. Word is informative tonight. Word is direction. Your word is caution in our hearts. This evening, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, looking at living by the word, learning properly. In Romans chapter 15, is our text. Romans 15, verse 4. Saturday. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It is for whatsoever things are written, were written rather, aforetime, were written for our learning. Hallelujah. So God is intentional about the information I have before me. It is that we, through the patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. So there's a purpose. Amen. In James chapter 1, which has been our text, James 1, it is in verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren, every good gift and perfect gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. His own we begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But in receiving, it says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Say, I don't deceive myself. I'm a doer of the word. I don't deceive myself. I am a doer of the word. Take a minute and reflect on what you just said. Hallelujah. I do not deceive myself. I am a doer of the word. I do the word. More than doing the word, I am a doer. You know, I do the word means, yep, you get to act on God's word, but I'm a doer of the word speaks about doing God's word habitually. Habitually. You know, habitually. You know, someone who is a smoker smokes habitually. He looks forward to smoking. He looks forward. He takes the initiative to smoke. It takes the initiative. Amen? It takes the initiative. It looks forward to smoking. It looks forward to taking cigarettes. It takes the initiative. It creates the time for it. It probably sets aside money for it. You know? It sets aside resources for it. So he has conversation about it. He probably negotiates around it. He probably stores more than he needs for the moment because he does it habitually. He's a smoker. Are we together? So he will get more cigarettes, sticks of cigarettes, he will get it in advance because he knows that opportunity can be scarce. He will always find opportunity. Are we together? So habitually, I do the word. Habitually, I look forward to opportunities to act on the word. Praise the Lord. Opportunities to what? I look forward to what? Opportunities to what? Good to have you back. To have you back. Yeah. It's a favor, right? To have you back. I look forward to what? I look forward to what? I look forward to what? So I look forward to opportunities. I look forward to opportunities. I look for opportunities. Are we together? Are we together? I look for opportunities. I look forward to opportunities. Opportunities to do the word. Are we together? Are we together? So someone gets me or does something to get me hungry. Habitually, I do the word. I see opportunities. So I also see the period to get angry as the opportunity to act on the word. This is an opportunity. Amen. Now, God is a proving God. Amen. God is a proving God. So, God might not create opportunities all the time, but He can use it. Amen. Amen. Look at this. God can use moments when you're sick. He does not bring the sickness upon you. Are we together? Are we together? But He can use moments. We know we are not in doubt as touching His will is to take away sickness. Are we together? Luke 9, He says the Son of Man did not come to destroy but to save. Then we see in salvation He will heal. So we're not in doubt as touching what God wants. When a man is sick, He wants him healed. We're not in doubt as touching what God wants where material things are as scarce. He wants abundance. Are we together? If you look at the natural world around you, you cannot but, conclude that God is not for scarcity. Are we together? He doesn't want scarcity. Look at the number of stars in the sky. Then you see the birds of the air that He created. Amen. He made the birds of the air. But look at the firmament of the sky itself. Abundant space. Are we together? Abundant space. So He creates the various foods, the herbs, the food, the fruits that man takes abundantly. So God is a God of varieties. Are we together? Abundance. Definitely, it has to be an abundance of a kind. It is not varieties where you then lose orderliness and you veer into your righteousness. He's a God of order, yet varieties in His order. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So, you look at the natural world, you see the natural resources. You see the beds of the fish of the sea, abundant waters, numerous creatures. You look at the earth that He puts man, you see abundance. So just by looking at the natural world, you will see God is a God of plenty. Is it clear? It is a God of plenty. So we're not in doubt as touching His will when it comes to having. He wants you to have enough. And in fact, more than enough.
Are we together? Are we together?
He wants you to have. So look at this. In healing, the healing gifts, you know the word gifts was pluralized, right? Did you know that?
Yeah.
The gifts of healing. Are we together?
Are we together?
Look at that text. 1 Corinthians. You know, sometimes simple facts like that, you can miss. Are we together? It is in verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing.
Gifts.
Amen. So, there are the gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. That is, there are plenty gifts that heal. Is it clear? Is it clear? There are plenty gifts that heal. They heal. Hallelujah. Alright, so abundance, we are not in doubt as touching what he wants. Amen. So, I said, God, however, can use moments to teach, to train, to reveal his character, and so on. Hallelujah. To train. So it doesn't conflict his character. It doesn't cause evil. But he can use a circumstance to effect something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he said, be a doer. It talks about habit. Of the word. Not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now look at 23. It is, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man building his natural face in the glass. He beholds himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What's the word forgetting here? What's that word again? To forget upon. Epilantanomai, right? Okay. It means to refuse to what? To consider. So when he says to do the word, it means consider it. Have you ever had a conversation with someone before you told him something? And just before you walk away, you tell the person, consider it. Think about it. Are we together? That's what God is saying. God is saying, consider it. Think about it. Think about it. Hallelujah. So what have we said in our conversation so far? We have said that God's word ought to be primary. We said God wants his word, two things, to be your most prized information. God's word, God wants his word, or God intends his word, or God wants his word to be to us what demands action. So most prized, get you to act. Most prized, get you to act. Most prized. God's word must always result in activities. God's word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Must always result in what? Activities. So we said,
Don't forget the Joshua 1 text. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night.
What is day and night again? Oh. Day and night implies what? Consistently. Are we together? Don't forget, he said you have to be intentional. Right? Right? You have to be what? Extensive. It has to be what? Up. It has to be deliberate. It has to be extensive. It has to be what? Consistent. Praise the Lord. Intentional. Amen. Extensive. And what? And what? Consistent. Consistent means what? Periodic. Right? Right? Periodic. Periodic. In Joshua 1 then, he says, when you meditate, you will be sure to do all, someone say all, right. That is written. Then it says, you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. Hallelujah. We saw from Psalms also. Psalm chapter 1. It is blessed the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. We said it has to do with conducting yourself. Don't forget dealing with a king, one who has influence. Nor stand in the way of sinners. Way of sinners. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers. I told you there's nothing called the seat of scoffers. We're talking about, you know, function. There's no chair that is designed and say this is the seat of scoffer. There's no way that I say, oh, this place is the way of sinners. So I told you, the same thing he calls seat is the same thing he meant by way. That's the same thing he called counsel. He's talking about what goes on in your mind. What goes on in your mind? The way of sinners has to do with what goes on in your mind, in the mind of man. The seat of the scornful, don't forget the scornful there, has to do with those who scorn at the word of God. They scorn at the word of God. They reject the word of God. So, he's dealing with what is happening in the mind, in the heart of man. In the heart of man. In your heart. Praise the Lord. But in the light is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate what? Day and night. Hallelujah. Then he says, it shall be like a tree planted by the what? Rivers of water. Like a tree.
planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Again, he's reapplying the Joshua 1 verse 8 text. So I told you that every time I hear the word of God, there is a battle in my heart, a battle of priority. I told you. Because epilantanomai, a forgetful era, it does not mean memory loss. It means to just not consider it at that moment. The information is right there in the mind, but he does not consider it. I told you that the fellow who does not act on the word is what? He's doing something else. Is that understood? Is that understood? The fellow who does not act on God's word, at that moment, is acting on something else. And if your action is involved by your thinking, it's thinking on something else. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So don't forget, 2 Corinthians 4 text we saw shows us that there is a conflict of thoughts. God's thoughts and, should I even use the word Satan's thoughts? Should I use that word? You know, but God's thoughts. It's a conflict of thoughts. And it's happening here. Hallelujah. It's happening here. Happening all the time. And you have to be aware. Because God has instructed you to be a doer of his word. So you can't be ignorant of the forces that are going on in your mind. Are we there? Are we there? Yeah. The forces that are going on in your mind. I told you that Satan blinds the mind of the unsaved, right? But for the saved, what does he do? He corrupts. Saw the text, right? Last week. He corrupts. So, hear this clearly, and then I'll say one or two things tonight to you. My mind is a gateway into my life. And there are other things that want my attention and my mind and my heart in the same areas that God wants my attention. Amen. don't forget we said, I asked the question, I said, what do I act upon? Weeks ago, when I told us that man usually acts upon three things. I'm actually going back to what I said weeks ago, okay? All right. Because I have to ensure that I dug up that properly before I move forward. So I don't leave any thoughts. But I leave little thoughts behind instead of major. Man acts on three things, I said. Number one, man acts on what he is persuaded about. Man acts on what he is afraid of, or for, or about. And I said, man also acts on what he has been overwhelmed with. But the greatest inspiration for action is not pressure, that's the third point. Neither is it terror, that's the second point, but conviction. The greatest motivation for action is not pressure, is not terror, fear. Rather, it has to be what? It has to be what? It has to be what? Conviction. It has to be conviction. So God wants my interaction with His Word to lead me to a point of what? A point of what? Conviction. Amen. Another word for conviction is persuasion. You're persuaded. So, in God's word, we will learn about healing, isn't it? Yeah. Whatever God has said about healing has to be persuasion. God is not suggesting. He's not suggesting. If you treat it as suggestion, you begin to lose out on His plans. The natural fruit of persuasion is action. Many times, we bother about our actions and bother less. We bother more about our actions and bother less about our persuasion. Whereas the persuasion is actually the main deal. Persuasion. Are you persuaded that you ought to be out there on evangelism? You are going to struggle with evangelism until you're persuaded. Are we together? Are we together? Now let's go back to our church, for example. How many concepts in God's word do you think we have observed or we do observe? How many? What are the things we teach in God's word? What are the things you teach in God's word? Oh, this is on salvation, then. This is on prayer, right? We teach prayer. We teach faith. We teach healing, right? Right? We teach holiness. What else? Righteousness. We teach being led by the Spirit of God. What else?
Walk in love. Love walk. Allowing God's love to affect your actions and interactions. What else will we teach? Being consecrated to the work and the will of God. Okay? Devotion. What else? Sorry? The things of the Spirit generally. Healing, right? Right? Laying ministering the things of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, right? Tongues, interpretation, gifts of healing, miracles. Are we there? We teach those things. What else? Devotion to the things of God. What else? Giving. Thank you. We teach Christian generosity. You know, allowing God's character of giving to be poured out from your heart. What else? Honor. Walking in honor towards the things of God. The fear of God. Are we together? What else? The church, you know, the place of the church in God's plan, how to build, strengthen God's church. What else? Relationships, how to handle your interactions with fellow men to the end that God's will is established and inspired. Are we together? What else? Spiritual growth, right? You see, the subjects are replete, isn't it? Plenty. Look at this. God is always trying to get you and I to a point of conviction. And when He brings others on your way, He is trying to get them into a point of conviction through you. God is trying to get me to be persuaded about my use of time, resources, about my use of His gift of salvation, about my use of His word, the place of His word in my life. God is working. God is doing His best. God is working to get me into what? A point of what? Conviction. Someone say a point of conviction. Yes. Oh, yes. And to get others to the same point through me. To get others to the same point through me. Hallelujah. So look at this. I have to be intentional with the word of God. And I need to understand that God is putting His resources, including His men, God is putting everything in place, working everything out to move me into greater and greater depths of what? Of conviction. Is it clear? Conviction. Conviction. God is working everything together to move you and I into greater depths of conviction. Because if He can get you to be convinced, you will struggle less with His word in that area. Conviction. Someone say conviction. 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 About healing. Conviction about the work of faith. Conviction about ministering the gospel. Conviction about living a life of example. Conviction about following His plans, His will. Conviction about being led by His Spirit. Conviction about putting His word first. God is doing is God is working everything out to move you and I into greater and greater and greater and greater and greater depths of conviction. That's what He's doing. He wants you to be as convinced as He is on that issue. That's the only way He can get you to act out His will consistently. Am I as convinced as God is about my salvation? Am I as convinced about God as God is about his work, about his church. Do I share convictions with God? Do I have a fellowship of conviction with the Lord about his plans and purposes for my life, that he actually has a plan for me? Am I convinced? Because everything many times comes to test your conviction, including alternate options to God's plan. Hallelujah. I must be intentional about the word of God. Is it clear? Now, in being intentional about the word, back to Joshua 1. In Joshua 1 there, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but I shall meditate." Now, notice it says, "Will not depart out of what?" It didn't say your heart. It didn't say your heart. It says it will not depart out of your what? Your mouth. Why? Because whatsoever has your mouth already has your heart. Oh, you don't know. You don't know that whatsoever has your mouth already has your heart. He said it in Matthew 12. He says, "Make the fruit good, and the fruit what? Will be good. Else make the tree evil, corrupt, and the fruit will be corrupt." He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? The mouth speaks. So whatsoever has your mouth already shows that it has occupied your heart. If it has my mouth, it shows that my heart is occupied. Is it clear? And some will say, "Oh, but I've seen scenarios where some folks are hidden some things in their heart and were saying other things in their mouth." That's not the kind of saying that we're talking about. I'll show you the kind of saying shortly. I will show you the kind of saying that when you see that kind of saying, it always points to you 100% that the heart is occupied. The heart is occupied. Whatsoever fills the mouth has occupied the heart. Has occupied the heart. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of what? Your mouth." What does it mean? It means this book of the law, the content, that's what it means. Now, when he says the book of the law, he's not talking about gluing the book to your mouth. That would be very cheery. He says, "What are you doing? What are you doing? You are chewing Leviticus 4. He says, "This book of the law should not depart." Who's called you? He's not talking about soaking Psalms 119 and drinking it. You just drank water with bacteria. Are we together? When he says, "This book of the law," the book there refers to the content. The content of the scriptures. Are we together? This book of the law. Now, if you read on, he says, "Shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." So it has to do with the instructions. The instructions. Are there instructions in God's word? Are there caution in God's word? Is there caution in God's word? Are there instructions? Are there directions in God's word? He says, "The book of the law will not depart out of your mouth." In other words, the instructions of God's word ought to fill your mouth. What God has said fills my mouth. Hallelujah. The promises of God. The promises of God. The promises of God. Fills my mouth.
door. Fills my mouth. Hallelujah. God's instructions fills my mouth. Did he say your heart? He said your mouth. Shall not depart out of your mouth. Consider it. Choose it. Prioritize it. Make decisions for it. Choose it. Stay in the word camp. Hallelujah. I'm in the word camp. I'm in the word camp. This book of the law, the content, and I told you it was referring to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now, the Deuteronomy were instructions, but the Genesis was the plan. So he's telling him that the book of Genesis, the plan of God, the Exodus was simply an exploit of God in order to fulfill the Genesis plan. The purpose of Exodus is Genesis. The reason behind Exodus is Genesis. This book of God, it will not depart out of your mouth. It will depart out of your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night. Hallelujah. So you observe that Joshua 1:8 has to it a regularity. We're talking about being intentional. Regularity. In Psalm 1, it says day and night. It also implies being regular. You will meditate on it. In 1 Timothy 4:15, he says, meditate on these things, give yourself wholly. Wholly also has to do with the use of your time. Give yourself wholly. Again, it speaks of regularity, devotion. You will meditate on it. Melitao in the Greek, M-E-L-I-T-A-O, Melitao, it means to revolve something. To revolve. To revolve. It speaks of to imagine within yourself so much that you begin to utter it in your words. Irregularity is required for the words. Regularity. Regularity. Outside it, I will be a pretender. A pretender. Regularity. Because no one grows by the things they hear once. I told us that already. You cannot build conviction on what you had once. Cannot build conviction on what you had once. we together? Look at this. Whatever Joshua was told to meditate day and night, just listen to this. Just listen. Whatever Joshua was told to meditate day and night, do you think that will be the first time he will get access to this information? Oh? Are we together? I mean, the time when these instructions came to him couldn't be the first time he's contacting the book of the law. So, God is talking to a pastor, Joshua, a Christian leader. And he says, go back to the basics. As though Moses is dead, but as though Moses is teaching you for the first time. The same thing, and in fact, I tell you the truth, that the books of Genesis, Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses were even believed to be co-authored by Joshua. I told you, for example, Moses couldn't have wrote and Moses died. Are we together? Now, oftentimes in literary work, I won't go much into that. In literary work, usually, definitely the book is credited to the main author. But many times, authorship can be plural. But usually, the book is credited to one person. Now, oftentimes, when a work is being done, I'm talking about a literary work, and for one reason or the other, the fellow who authors the work is not able to complete it. They usually look for a fellow that has similar worth of experience and knowledge and authority. Someone that when the fellow writes, other can heed. He has similar experience because he has been around for a long time. Are we together? In fact, no single book of the scriptures was authored alone. Even the shortest materials, it was believed that materials were co-authored throughout the scriptures. The book of Psalm itself had about 15 to 20 something writers, but its quote is credited to David. Are we together? In fact, some people you see, by the time you read some parts of your King James, you see the Psalm of David. Moses, that means he wrote that one. And see, the Psalm of, you see, men like Asaph, who were also songwriters, leaders, they also wrote. But because they were under David's tutelage, are we together? Whatever work they had done is submitted to him. Are we together? Get into that sometimes later. So, Joshua was somebody of that kind of capacity. You read through Exodus, you read Numbers, there are many instances where Moses will be on the mountain and all the children of Israel and the leaders will be away. Only Joshua will be left at the foot of the temple, sometimes at the doorway of the tabernacle, of the tent. So this guy Joshua is not a novice to whatever content Moses is now writing. Now obviously, Moses did not start out writing. Moses had taught. He now puts his teaching into writing. Are we together? Moses taught God's word. He now also wrote down the things he taught them. Amen? So, Joshua was not becoming conscious or learning or having insight of God's will, God's word for the first time when he laid hold on this book. No. God was rather instructing him that in order to keep doing his will, there are things you must keep hearing. So it shows you that consistency of action will be inspired by consistency of interaction with knowledge. I told you a while ago
that the first time getting God's word of a man is for salvation. The subsequent interactions with God's word of the same man is for spiritual growth. That shows you that his conviction is now being deepened. So God is big on conviction. And conviction is through repetition. Conviction is by a constant interaction with the truth. So I said, nobody grows by hearing something what? Once. Now let me say it this way. Nobody grows by hearing something just for a particular period of his life. The same truth must come to you again at other seasons of your life. The same truth. At no point, therefore, will I say I've outgrown the basics of salvation. I need to hear it again. Are we together? I need to what? Hear it again. At no point will I say I've outgrown God's counsel on healing. I have to hear it again. I have to hear it again. I've learned giving. I don't need to learn giving again. No. You have to hear it again. So God's word, the same things, comes to us again and again in a circular fashion. The same things coming to us, but never leaving us what? The same. The same things coming to us, but never leaving us what? The same. Look at this. There are just 66 books here. But you will now read it for 66 years. For 70 years, the same 66 books, you will now read it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means in 10 years' time, you will again go over it. Within 10 years, he's going over it. 20 years, Joshua is going over it. So the same things coming to you again, but never leaving you what? The same. That's how we are changed. That as the word of God touches you again, it deepens your conviction. I must understand how conviction comes. That conviction comes by hearing the same things again and again. Someone say the same things. Alright? Repetition. You cannot grow by taking God's word once a while. You cannot grow by listening to God's word once a while. For example, you cannot grow by just listening to God's word 2 hours in a week, a whole week, just 2 hours. You have to feed on the word of God consistently. Notice that the things you are good at in the world are things you interact with almost daily. Academics, your business, even habits, skills, exercise. So what do? I must create a pattern of hearing the word. Say that.
I'm saying it again. And hearing the same thing more than what? Once. Create what? A pattern. I recall weeks ago, I was talking to us about that. And I told you that in creating such a pattern, if I call, if I pick 5-10 people here, 20 of us here at random, I pick 20-30 of us at random, if I pick 40 people here at random, right now, the plan that you have to hearing the same things again and again will most likely must differ. Because your plan must consider what is happening in your world. Your schedule. If you are married, something as simple as being married can affect the way you devise the plan. And the one who is not married, it will also. I'm not saying that it can affect it negatively. I mean, it will begin to, it will reflect in why you chose this pattern. Or you must use a pattern. Some of us are employees of organizations. You go to work Mondays to Fridays. Some of you go to work Mondays to Saturdays. Some of you even go to work Sunday to Sundays. We have medical people here. You go to work Sunday to Sundays. Some of you have your businesses. Probably resume your business at later in the morning, at 9 o'clock. Sometimes, depending on where you're doing your business and how you're doing it. Sometimes at 10. Some of us work for organizations remotely. You work from home or from your location. You work for international organizations remotely. All of these peculiarities that I mentioned will affect the plan, how you devise the plan. But you see, it is not negotiable. The fact that you must devise a plan that gets you to regularly hear the word. Some of you are students on campus. It will be reflected in the manner of plan you draw. But you must, every man must draw a pattern. Maybe you are a wife, you are a husband, that can affect your pattern, but you must have one. You must have one. If living by God's word is priority to you, then conviction, understanding has to be priority, then repetition has to be priority, then you must create a pattern of hearing the word. So, do you have a pattern? A teaching track daily? Okay, but which teachings? Which teaching? A teaching track daily, okay, when are you going to get back to the one you listen to today? Because you are not going to grow because you had it. You are going to grow to the degree at which you bring that teaching back to yourself again. So, partly, it shows you that you are not in a race with anybody. But you have the responsibility to outgrow yourself. to get better. Are we there? Are we there? So I must create a what? A what? A pattern of hearing the same things more than what? More than what? Once. So look at this. What determines what I listen to now? What determines what I listen to now? What determines it? Hear this. In what area of God's word are you seeking a breakthrough? In what area of God's word are you seeking what? Breakthrough. Are you with me? In what area? In what area of God's word are you seeking a what? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
In what area of God's word are you seeking what? What I'm sharing with you tonight, are you getting it? Is it practical? Is it helpful? In what area are you seeking what? Look at me, everybody. Demystify your Christian life. You are not in a race with somebody. You are building his life. And the materials, the building materials, is God's word. Is it clear? Is it clear? You know, you are going to be a very stupid builder. When you have erected the wall is shaking. But you say, oh, we need to put a roof. You are going to be a stupid builder. If the wall is shaking, what do we do? Look at it again. Why is it shaking? Maybe we need to collapse everything, right? And do what? Erect. Amen. So it means that I would have said you should do it now. But as you get back home, at the time when you go by your notes, you are then going to make lists of those areas. Are we together? Is that part of being intentional? Deliberate? So you are going to make a what? A list of those areas. Make a list of those areas. So, what do I listen to in God's word? Okay. So, look at this. You know, we have corporate meetings like this, right? I'm coming and everybody is there. I mean, a corporate service is a coming together of all the selves. That's what general service is. Worship service on Sundays, midweek service is the coming together of all the selves. That's just it. That's just saying. All the selves should come together. Now, at the cell levels, there is also what we are being taught. And then individually also, there's what we are doing in our private lives. So look at this. When we come together like this, we hear, you know, a general word, like I'm saying, which, like I said, you know, forms morning devotion and a number of other things. But look at this. What you are listening to in God's word can't be the same thing you are listening to. It's not going to give you the same one, but it's not likely going to be the same. Amen. Amen.
Amen. What you are listening to. Now, let me just say this. Come on. Why are you listening to it? Look at this. You are listening to it so that you can meditate on it. So, I know we come together like this. We have general words. We are receiving on Sundays. We are looking at salvation. And then we are teaching whatever we teach on Sundays. Sometimes we're in the cell. We are looking at whatever we are looking at in the cells. Like, you don't know. But oftentimes, what our cell leaders do is that they look at their cells and say, oh, for this cell, this is what God has placed in my heart. As a cell pastor, the work that I should do in that we should do in this cell. God will have our cell focus on this for now. And the other cell is doing something different. And the other cell also. And the other cell. So you can see also the question. But talking about your life. So where what area, in which areas are you believing for what? For what? Breakthrough. Mastery. Amen. Then you get God's word. Is it clear? Is it clear? You can be listening to healing. You can be listening to faith. You can be listening to walking in love. You can be listening to prayer. You can be listening to evangelism. You can be listening to understanding discipleship. You can be listening to honor. The other one can be listening to learning how to walk with your leaders in church. Are we together? Someone else can be listening to faithfulness. Faithfulness. Some other people can just be listening to understanding the message of the gospel. I want to understand when I go out to preach. What I am saying to the unsaved, I want to understand you well. That might just be. Are we together? Now, somebody who needs healing in your body, you need healing in your body. What's your business with evangelism? Are we together? Now, get it clearly. I have not said jettisoning the teaching on evangelism. I said, when your focus is to get healed, now, you can be needing healing in your body and you are listening to the teaching on evangelism. Well, because you're trusting God for healing, but you also know you want to understand, tear up that passion. Don't say, oh, sir, I don't know, but I feel like I'm losing passion, you know, in reaching out to the unseen. And I say, when last did you listen to the teaching on evangelism? He said, I've not had it. You're a stupid person. That's what to listen to. You are believing God for healing. Healing, 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 healing. You want it now. You are listening to giving. Get on the teaching on healing. Now, there's nothing wrong if you are currently on healing. Is it clear? But you also see the need to, you have the latitude to also listen to and learn on giving. Because you cannot say, because God has not taken the sickness is not out of my body, then I'm not going to grow in other areas. But I mean, if your focus is to get healed, then that is what to listen to. That is why there on the media desk, there is no subject you are looking for in Christianity. That's why a pastor cannot be a specialist. God cannot give you the entire Bible and then he said, my own message is prosperity. You are a lazy person. Or my message is holiness. You are just a lazy person. Paul says the entire counsel of God. That's the work of the pastor. You are a pastor, overseer. Overseer is some. You are called an overseer because you oversee many things. It is your work that no Christian is lacking under your watch. You don't have business with other people, other people's church members, but the flock that God has given you is not lacking in an heir. Paul said to the church at Corinth, as you are abounded in knowledge, revelation, you are abounded in the things of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, see also that you are bound in this giving, because they were stingy. The church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 Corinthians 9. They were stingy. They had gifts of the Spirit, healing, everything was free, but they were stingy. So he says, look at that area too. Tell your neighbor, look at that area too. Complete Christian. So, there's nothing wrong in listening to evangelism. But when you observe that you want to get your faith strengthened, you get on what? You don't fail. So, have I answered the question of what do I listen to? Have I answered the question of what do I listen to? What do I listen to? Now, how long do I listen to it? Listen to it till there is no room for contrary action in your life. You listen to it till you found yourself doing nothing. I didn't say nothing else. I said nothing contrary. How long do I listen to the teaching on love work? Put it on plate. And then we have more than one teaching subject on love work. We have them plenty. Listen to it again. You had it yesterday. Hear it again today. Okay, maybe it's a six-track teaching. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The coming Monday, you have no business with faithfulness. Get back to what? The track one you listened to last week Monday. Put it on again. Tuesday, what you had last Tuesday, put it on again. Wednesday, okay, this is week two. Week three, the same thing. See, sometimes I come to you and say, I've listened to a teaching more than 60 times. How else will I have? There are some things I've listened to more than 80 times. 80, I didn't say 80. I knew a man of God that got hold on a teaching, he listened to it about 260 times. Kenneth Hagin said when he was believing of God for healing, he read the book of Mark 11. Mark 11. He said he read Mark 11 over 200, over 300 times. And he got healed. He got healed. The word of God is potent. For you are lazy or ignorant. Listen to it. Listen to what? Listen to what? Listen to it again. So how long should I keep listening to it? Keep listening to it till you are now acting on it effortlessly. Now, when I discovered that you are not just trying to build one area, right? You have multiple areas you are trying to build. Okay, so there is now a need for you to put those multiple teaching subjects on a periodic fashion and focus on teaching subjects to the degree at which you need it working now in your life. You can already observe that as a church, we already have a custom where before you know it in the year, I am back to that subject to teach. So that ought to be the same pattern in your own personal life. Now nobody has even said, oh, listen to a teaching per day. Then you listen to that. Maybe you start listening to the track at 7, 1 hour 30 minutes. By 8:30, you are done. You just remove your earpiece, throw it away. I have fulfilled today's quota.
That's why you are not growing. Because nobody had said you couldn't listen to that same track 5 times in one day. You are doing ritual. Ritual is not a negative word. It simply means it is dead religion. You just want to mark the attendance. No, there is a heart behind the instruction. If you understand the heart behind the instruction that says at least a track per day, if you understand the heart behind the instruction, you will see the need to replay the track again. What is this instruction, at least a track per day, trying to do? You will see that if this is what it's trying to do, and I think I should hear it again, the same track. What does it show you quickly before I close? It shows you that a lazy man cannot walk in God's plan. Because walking in God's plan has a lot to do with you having many things in control, starting from yourself. A careless person, a short span of attention person, short attention span person, cannot fulfill God's plan for their lives. We are not talking about praying, just listening to the word. So, I must create a pattern. I must create a pattern of hearing the word and hearing the same thing more than what? More than once. I must create a pattern of hearing the word and hearing the same thing more than what? More than once. I must create a pattern of hearing the word and hearing the same thing more than what? More than once. So, does it look like work? Does it look like diligence is required? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Oftentimes, what you are wanting to switch from, to change from, did not start that day. You can't get it off with laziness. Yoruba will say that. Forgive me, I'm quoting Yoruba. Ojuboro, kola fin se kini, kola fin gbomo lowo epuro. It is not by cheap talk that we take away, what's it called, palm kernel. What's the ikoro? Palm kernel, right? From what? From the shell. Is it clear? So God's word is potent. You have to be diligent. Look at me, everybody. The most subtle force that controls our lives, I'm talking about you and myself, is the force of fear. Fear is so subtle. You don't know when it's around. The opposite of fear is faith. Faith is the process of eradicating fear. You cannot eradicate fear when you are lazy. See, being a man of strong faith requires diligence. It requires what? It requires what? Diligence. Diligence in filling your heart with your with the word. Filling your heart before me with the word. Diligence in filling your heart with the word.
Now look at me. Where is the doorway into your heart?
Huh?
Your ears. And your what? Your what? Your eyes. Now it doesn't stop here. Look at it. Another doorway into your heart, which you are also going to see, is your mouth. Your mouth functions in both directions. It reflects what is in your heart. It also fills your heart with what is found there. Of all the gateways into your heart, it is your mouth that functions both ways. Your mouth functions both ways. We're going to see. Maybe next meeting, which is not Thursday, are we together? We're going to see that the way you sow seeds in your heart is also in your words. Which is why he says, meditate therein. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, that you may observe to do. It looks as though when I say it, I am convincing myself. He says, it will not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night. Then you shall observe to do. It looks as though what I say strengthens what I do. So your mouth functions both ways. Functions both ways. We're going to see that. But see, fill your heart with the words. Fill your heart. Fill your heart with the word. Some of you need to replace pictures. Pictures. You've had pictures. Pictures painted by culture, society. Pictures painted by the economy. Pictures painted by experiences. Even experiences of others. Sometimes even experiences of people that have been privileged to impact or to influence you. People you look at ahead. And say, this person can suffer this. That will happen to me also. Parents, uncles, loved ones, family line, family chain. Sometimes pictures of sicknesses that medical science has told you, oh, it's in the blood, it runs in the blood. Runs in the blood. Diabetes, he says, oh, it runs in the blood. There's hepatitis, it runs in the blood. High blood pressure, yeah, there's something like high blood pressure from genetics, obviously. But that's a picture that is not God's word. Pictures of what you cannot do that has stopped you from even attempting. Pictures of what you must go through that has made you to settle down for the wrong experiences. Fill your heart with the word. When it seems as though you do not know what to do, there are moments to actually look into the word. Look into the word. So listen to it again. Prayer. Listen to prayer again. Listen to it again. You can be listening to prayer for the 60th time. If you start, listen to this. If you start this evening, you can listen to prayer for the 90th time, 100th time, by October 31st. 100 times. If you start tonight, you could have listened to the breath of prayer. Breath that were spoken out by the Spirit of God about prayer. You could have listened to it about 60 times in 2 weeks' time, or in 3 weeks' time, or in 1 month's time. You could have listened to devotion, consecration. You could have listened to walk in love. You have listened to being zealous to the things of God. We are listening to it about 50 times before the end of the month. It will improve your conviction. And your conviction will affect the breakthrough you have in action of the word. Are you struggling with the word? You have not listened enough. If you listen enough, God's word is able to break every hold that is not of you. Thought patterns, emotions, objectives, views, turbulence, fear, pressure, lack of a good sense or godly sense of identity, it falls off at the light of God's word. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So we'll end session here tonight. I'll pick it up with the parable of the sower next week. Is it clear? Have you blessed tonight? Let us stand to our feet. Let's just pray in the spirit that you are given much more to the world and that you take initiatives. I take initiative. And I use what is available to me. I listen to the word again. Listen to it again. But I've listened to it and I'm just go and listen again. Go and listen again. The word of God works. Go and listen again. Go and listen again. Go, listen again, listen again, listen again. Grace is poured upon you as you listen again. Strength is poured upon you as you listen again. Your faith is stirred up to receive the expectation, to receive God's grace working, to receive much more of the inward working of His power. Strength is wheeled upon our lives. Listen again. Go, listen again. Get on those issues on focus and listen again. Listen again, listen again. Keeping your focus on the gospel. Keeping your focus on the things that matters most. Keeping your focus to build what God is building. Listen to it again. Listen to the teaching on success. What God calls it. Listen again. Listen to it. Listen to it. Listen to Christian willingness. Listen to it again. Listen to it again. Listen to it again. Listen to teaching the spirit. Teaching the selves. As we should. Or as you should be. Listen to it again. Listen to it. Oh, no man, nothing. Listen to it. Walking in the love of God. Listen to it. Again and again. Listen to it. Fruits of spiritual growth. When I'm growing. As I preach the gospel. Listen to it again. Listen to it. Consecration. Listen to it again. Devotion. Listen to zeal. Burning with you. Listen to it again. Listen. Listen to it again. On the call of God. The call to pray. Again and again. You see, an outpouring of the grace of God. Birthing breakthrough, strength in diverse aspects of life. Yep. Yep, yep. Sometimes one teaching will just take care of several areas. So listen again. Listen again. Pray in other tongues. Lord, I listen. Lord, I listen. And I listen again. Look for yourself tonight.